Elizabeth Elliot says that God knows the end from the beginning, and He calls us to put our faith in Him, to set our feet on that rock which will never move. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot. As you put your faith in the solid rock, study the unchanging Word with us today. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, continuing my talks today on power through weakness. I told you yesterday a story of my grandson, Walter Shepherd, who had gone to Peru and then went down to Bolivia to visit his cousin, who's a missionary down there, and on his way back he was robbed, not once, but twice, 2 days in a row, two different places. And he lost a number of things, including his passport, practically all of his clothes, except what he had on, and his 6 months journal of his time with his Uncle Bert Elliot, who is a missionary, has been a missionary in Peru for 45 years. And I quoted from 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. These are verses that my father loved and I suppose would be perhaps one of his, among his life verses, and he often quoted them to us. And of course, we thought that Daddy could do anything, as children do, and yet he was one who was very aware of his own weaknesses. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. What a lesson to learn, to delight in things like that. It doesn't come naturally, does it? For when I am weak, says Paul, then I am strong. I have a poem here. It's called The Mendicant, a word that's very seldom used nowadays. It means a beggar. I stood a mendicant of God before his royal throne and begged him for one priceless gift which I could call my own. I took the gift from out his hand, but as I would depart, I cried, "But Lord, this is a thorn, and it has pierced my heart. This is a strange and hurtful gift which thou hast given me." He said, "My child, I give good gifts and gave my best to thee." I took it home, and though at first the cruel thorn hurt sore, as long years passed, I learned at last to love it more and more. I learned he never gives a thorn without this added grace. He takes the thorn to pin aside the veil which hides his face. Now, you may remember that the verses that I just read come from the context of the story of God allowing Satan to give Paul a thorn in the flesh. We don't know exactly what that thorn was, but it says it was a messenger of Satan, given by God in order to keep Paul from becoming absurdly conceited. I think if you'll read the passage carefully, you'll see that the thorn was not only a messenger of Satan, but it was given in order that he might not become conceited. And certainly Satan is not going to give you anything that's going to keep you from becoming conceited, because Satan would just love to get you conceited. And so God allowed this thorn in Paul's life, the most important thing for him to learn, so that Paul would be in a position to teach you and me that the grace of God is sufficient. Paul had to learn it in his weakness. You and I also have to learn it. Disciples are those who have chosen to follow Jesus. We have accepted the conditions of discipleship. We are trudging along like pilgrims on the pathway of the cross. We have not achieved sainthood in the usual sense. We're deeply conscious of our weaknesses and our failures. Experience is God's curriculum, teaching us faith. Does God guide us according to our desires? Not always. The psalmist says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this." The Lord doesn't always seem to give us the desires of our heart, does he? But as we noted in this poem about the mendicant, he thought that the thorn was a very strange gift to receive. But ultimately, he understood that it was a good gift, and it came from God. I have a letter from a woman who is obviously angry with God because he won't give her what she wants. She says, "I have prayed and begged him for years now, and it just seems like it never goes away. I have tried with all that I have in me to turn this thing over to God, knowing he's in control and has all power to work. I've told God I don't want to accept my husband's addiction. It scares me, and it hurts, and I'm afraid God won't change things." Now, what can we say to that lady? Can I say with any authority, yes, God will deliver your husband from addiction? No, I can't say that. All we can do is to trust that God will give us what is good, and only God can be the judge of what fits into his pattern for good. And it may be that God wants this woman to learn his power through her weakness and her helplessness to deliver her husband from addiction. It's certainly a legitimate desire, isn't it, that your husband would be delivered from addiction? And yet, we are not the ones dictating to God what needs to be done. We bring our requests in humility, and we believe by faith that God is going to act according to his sovereign, holy will. The old writers used to call it detachment, holding all my desires and all my prayers on an open palm, not clutching them. And the Apostle Paul has opened to us the secret of his soul, a story of a personal spiritual experience, an awful need, and a wonderful deliverance, a strong man, and a tremendous trial that came just because of a little thorn. There was darkness in his spiritual sky, but he cried to God. And that we find again and again and again in the Psalms. The writers of the Psalms crying out to God in the midst of terrible troubles, suffering, horrible events in their lives. King Alfred the Great said to his subjects, "If thou hast a fearful thought, share it not with a weakling. Whisper it to thy saddle bow, and ride forth singing." If thou hast a fearful thought, share it not with a weakling. Whisper it to thy saddle bow, and ride forth singing. The saddle bow is the horn on the saddle. So you're not going to be weakening another person by your own weaknesses. We want to strengthen one another when we can. Jesus himself was once driven to strong crying and tears. We find that passage in Hebrews 5, verse 7. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. Now, did his father save him from death? No. Here we find that great mystery of the will of God and the necessity of evil and suffering. And Jesus was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. One of the greatest mysteries that I ponder. How could Jesus learn obedience? Why did he need to learn obedience? Well, because he had taken upon himself humanity, and he surrendered to suffer everything that humanity has to suffer. He was acquainted with grief. He said, "Scorn has broken my heart." And so in the case of Jesus and in the case of Paul, each cry was met with a transcendently higher blessing. Grace, the Lord of love and power, giving himself to you and me, pouring out himself, his love, his very soul unto death. That's a definition of grace. The Lord of love pouring out himself, giving himself to us. What are we asking of him today? What is it that you're hammering on God's door about? Maybe what you need to pray is, "Give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus." That's the best thing we can ever ask. And then sometimes the very dreaded thing, the adversity, the thing that we are desperately hoping will not happen, changes its character and its position. And it becomes an occasion, not of falling, but of mounting up with wings as eagles. "And they shall walk and not faint." Is his grace sufficient for you today in your situation? Can we learn Paul's lesson? Power through weakness, spiritual strength through natural suffering.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.